Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm all set to start. First of all, I'm going to name the guy. So the made-up name for the client is Norm. We're over Zoom together. And at the very beginning of the session, after I went through consent, this spirit woman came in and said to me, "This is the person that you dreamt about. It's us." And I'm like, "Hmm?" And she goes, "Sam, it's us. This is my husband you're going to be talking to." And I'm like, "Okay." So now let's kind of back it up a little bit. You and I, in the mornings, sit down and have coffee. And one of the things you and I do in the mornings when we have coffee is say, "How did you sleep last night?" And then we talk about sleep being disrupted sleep for whatever reasons. And those can be important too, because you have to sort through that stuff. And it can be dreams. So we share our dreams in the mornings. So I had told you about the dream.
Cool. Can I pause for a second?
Yeah.
I just want to say to people who might be like, "Oh, like weird that you would talk about that over coffee." I think it is one of the best things that you can start your day talking about. And I think if you're going to pick a topic, it should be your first, because you are understanding then the tone in which people are starting their day, right? So if you had a great sleep and a great dream or good dreams, then you know that person is entering into their day with close to full capacity, right? Or as much as they possibly can. If someone says, "I had disruptive sleep, but my dreams are okay," you kind of know they're sitting in and around that like 6 to 7 out of 10 situation. If someone says to you, "I slept like crap and I didn't dream," okay, we know we're at probably like a two or three out of 10, right? So it allows you to gauge, or have the other person give you the scale that they feel they're on to say, "Here's where I'm at." Because if you have any interaction with them throughout the day, or you want to feel connected to them or understand why you feel disconnected from them, how did you sleep and how were your dreams are two of the most considerate questions to build intimacy together.
Perfect, Kelly. You and I had talked about this particular dream when we had coffee that morning. And then it was around 10 o'clock in the morning. He was the first client of the day. When his wife showed up and went, "This is my husband. This was the dream you had last night. This is us." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So after the consent process, I said to Norm, "I have a woman here who's crossed over." He goes, "Mm-hmm. Do you know who she is?" And I said, "She says she's your wife and that she's passed." And he went, "Yes." And he says, "What does she want to tell me?" And I said, "Well, before I tell you what she wants to tell you, I dreamt about the two of you last night." And he kind of looked at me and he went, "What?"
I mean, that is a weird thing to start with. I don't think that's something most people hear. And when someone says, "I dreamt about you last night," I feel like the immediate thing is like, "Oh, what kind of dream?"
Oh, true.
Totally.
That didn't even dawn on me.
And that's why we love you, Karen.
It didn't dawn on me because I dream about clients so frequently. Mm-hmm. That I didn't realize that could come out as a creepy statement. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Her practice was forever changed.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm going to have to figure out how to reword that. Noted. And I will address that later.
I started getting your information in my dreams last night.
Yes.
Instead of, "I dreamt about you."
Thank you. Oh my God, to put that on a post-it note so I say it right each time. So I said to him, "Do I have permission to share with you what I dreamt last night? Can I do a dream recall for you?" And he went, "This is weird." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Is this part of how you get information?" And I said, "Yes, it is. On a regular, like almost nightly basis." And he went, "Honestly?" He goes, "You dream about your clients at night on a consistent basis?" And I said, "Frequently."
Can I please remind all of you wonderful listeners that we only charge you for the hour in which you're sitting in front of us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I said to him, "Can I launch right into the dream then?" And he goes, "Yes, go ahead. It's weird, but go right ahead." So I, and then he asked for permission to record because he thought that was interesting. He wanted to be able to do, to replay the dream afterwards.
And maybe have it for a court system if need be. He's like, I'm just going to record this.
Hadn't thought about that, but you have a point. So I started, and now I'm going to share with you the dream. Oh, and he said to me too, am I supposed to jump in as you tell me things about the dream and tell you that's right, that's wrong, this makes sense, this doesn't, what do I do? And I said, no, I'm going to ask you not to do anything if you don't mind. And I said, and mostly I'm going to look to my left. I'm not going to look at the screen because I really don't want to see your reactions anyway. And he goes, so this might have been a better session over telephone. And I said, it doesn't really matter to me. And I said, I'm just going to glance over to the left because I don't want to see your facial cues. And he said, that's fine. You go right ahead. So I did. That's where I look, over to the left. And I started doing, trying to remember the dream. And I said, okay, I said, at the very beginning of the dream, I'm standing inside a house. And I said, inside the house, things look like very browns, beiges, gold. And he just goes, okay, I'm just going to say, mm-hmm, but I'm not confirming. I'm just listening to you.
I'm hearing you, yeah.
Yeah, he says, I'm just going to say mm-hmms as acknowledgement that I'm here because you're looking over there. You're not looking at me. And I went, that's perfect. So he gave me the mm-hmm without a validation. And I said, and then I'm taken to the outside of the house. And I said, I look at the outside. And I said, it's a god-awful garage door. And I hear him laugh, but I don't look. And I said, it looks purple. And I said, but it's an absolutely horrendous purple. It looks like a purple that somebody blended a whole bunch of colors together and got purple by accident. And I hear him laughing. And I said, so that's just someone's shit show. That's what I said. And I hear him laugh again. And I said, he goes, how do you get that in the dream? How do you know it's a shit show in the dream? He says, I'm super curious as to why you're saying that to me other than that it's just a natural color of purple. He goes, why do you think it's a shit show? I said, I don't know. I'm just telling you the feelings that I got in my dream.
There, that's it though. That's the answer.
Thank you.
I got a feeling attached to you, a visual.
Yeah. Yeah. And he, okay, good. Perfect. So I said, you know, that's how it happened. I saw it. This is how I felt. He goes, okay, go ahead, continue. And I said, well, now I'm back into the house again. And I said, in the house, I see a bathroom. And I said, it's like hot pink. He goes,
hey, Barbie.
Yes. Although he didn't say that.
Sorry.
Okay. And he goes, continue. And I said, it's like a hot pink. And I said, and there's some red in it.
Oh, my God.
And I said, and there's some orange. And I said, somebody has like a color palette in there. That I don't know if they've seen someplace and tried to replicate it, but I said, it doesn't go. They just don't have like the color sense, much like the garage door. They don't have the sense of color.
I thought you were going to say someone has color blindness.
Oh.
And was left in charge of design.
That's even funnier, Kelly. So I said to him, so the bathroom looks like that. And he laughs. Anything else you see in the bathroom? Like this to me. So I said, no, I don't remember anything else in the bathroom.
No, it blinded me.
I said, I don't see anything else in the bathroom other than like these particular colors. And I said, but it looks old to me, like it's the old brown wood. It's not like where it's modern, you know, like where people have painted old wood or varnished it to make it look old. I said, it just actually looks old, but not well kept. And again, another kind of little laugh. And so I looked over at him. I said, Norm, how are we doing? He goes, you're doing great. He goes, you continue like this. So I said, okay. He goes, what else did you see in that dream? And I said, well, I said, there is a reclining chair in the living room. And I said, it is a particular color and I'll call it mushroom. And I said, and the weirdest thing is that there's a table situated in front of it. And again, it's like an old wood table and it's totally inappropriate. It doesn't look like it should be in front of this table, in front of this chair at all. Because typically beside a recliner chair, you'd have a little end, like a little coffee table. And I said, but there's this big honking coffee table in front of it. It just doesn't go together. And he goes, okay. And I said, he goes, can you see what's on it? And I said, no. I said, I just see the table. He goes, okay. Anything else? And I said, yes. I said, there is a wall that has shelves on it. And I said, it looks like somebody has inserted shelves between the shelves. Do you know what's on the shelves? I said, you're damn right I do. I remember staring at them in my dream. He goes, what's on the shelves? And I said, the first thing I saw on the shelves, and I saw it in an order, Kelly. The first time I looked at the shelves, I saw medicine.
In the living room?
Prescribed medicine. Yeah. Medicinal products.
We understood that.
Yeah. Oh, there's a reason I'm saying it. He goes, okay. And he goes, what else? And I said, well, that's the order. I said, that's first. And I said, then when I look back a second time, I can see all kinds of naturopathic products. And he goes, how do you know the difference? I said, because I worked for naturopathic doctors for 6 years.
Also, they don't look the same.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, you would know what they look like. I said, yes. I said, I ran their dispensary. I know the products. And I know the names of the companies. And I said, so I'm familiar with what was on those shelves. And he went, okay. He goes, what else did you get on the shelves? I said, oh, the third time I looked at the shelves, the focus was on chocolate bars. And I said, they weren't two or three chocolate bars on the shelf or one here and there. It was boxes of chocolate bars. It looked like I was in a pharmacy and somebody who stocked the shelves only had one wall to put everything on and decided I'm not putting the medicine. Well, like there was medicine in one. Oh, I don't know how to word this. It was a mess. But the way I saw it was organized.
The way you saw it, was it chronological?
No.
Progression? Or it was just all at...
Oh, I like what you're doing.
Because my brain's going, okay, did it start as MD medicine?
Yes.
And then over time, that disappears and you see naturopathic?
Yes.
Because they're changing the course of their treatment?
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
And
you've jumped ahead.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and then the third time I saw the boxes of chocolates... And
fundraising?
Nope.
Okay. Interesting.
A sweet tooth.
Okay.
And they were by the case. And then, And then tons of boxes of candy.
So we healed or gave up?
Thank you.
Hold that thought.
So there are boxes of candy and like tubs and containers of candies. He didn't say to me what kind of candy, what kind of chocolate bars. He didn't say what brand. He just sat there and looked at me and he went, wow.
Well, you've built trust and rapport at this point with the amount of affirmations you've given.
Yeah. And he just kind of, he went, wow, Karen, like this. And he goes, okay. He goes, so you've told me something. He goes, when am I allowed to talk? And I said, well, hold up. I said, there's more to the dream. I said, let me finish it. So I said, what I understand is that the woman who lives here, this woman, your wife who's passed, went to medicine first. They couldn't help her. Went to naturopathic doctors second. Couldn't help her. Gave up. Bought chocolate. Bought candy. Decided, I'm going to be happy till I die, or I'm going to be happy while I live. I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Because nobody's helping me, but I'm feeling sicker and sicker, and I've given up. And he went, exactly. And then I said, hold up. Because his wife who passed interjected and came in front of me and said, my heart. And I went, your heart. He wants to know how I died. And I said, he still doesn't know. And she went, no. She says, and tell him I died before COVID even started, but just before, like just a couple of months before, then COVID hit and he still doesn't have the autopsy to this day. Years, he still doesn't have the autopsy. And he keeps requesting it. He keeps asking the doctor. The doctor does keep asking for the autopsy report and they keep saying it's in the pile. Mm-hmm. And they are nowhere even close to giving him my autopsy report. Mm-hmm. So I'm here to say to him, it ended up being that I had a heart condition all along. So I said to her, all along? She goes, yeah, I had a heart condition the whole time. And she and I said, well, did you not end up seeing a cardiologist? Nope. She says, and I kept saying that I had problems with my heart, and I ended up seeing every kind of doctor you could think of, and nobody would look at my heart. Yeah, it was mind-blowing for me. And she says, say that to him. It's really going to validate, and it's going to give him the peace of mind that he's looking for because he's super stressed. So she says, tell him that, and tell him it's me now in the session, not the dream part.
And what valuable information if they have children to now understand family history and genetics.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You find out that your mom passed of a heart condition all along.
Yeah.
I'm taking that to my family doctor and saying, P.S., do a workup and let's know what I'm dealing with here genetically.
Yeah. That's good. That didn't come up, but thank you for saying that for the listeners. Well, that's a great point.
Yeah, that's part of clarity, relief, and direction, not just for the person who attended the session, but for how those messages are able to impact other people in your life.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Then I go back to the dream, and I said, there's more about the dream. I said, I distinctly remember in the dream a man coming in, and he said, okay, go on, tell me more about the man. And I said, well, he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy in the marriage. And he goes, oh, well, he kind of like did one of these like, like that. And his wife says to me, listen to me. So I said, well, Norm, just a second. Your wife is talking. She wants me to listen to her. And then I'm to repeat what she wants to say. Would you be good with that? And he goes, yep. So I listened to his wife and I said, what do you want to tell me here? And she went, well, he wasn't happy in our marriage for a very long time. But he will not leave a relationship. He will not. And so he does his own things in his own life to sabotage his own health. He does his own things in the relationship to sabotage the relationship. But he wants the woman to do the leaving. He wants to be able to say, I did my best. I tried my hardest. I did everything for her. She just didn't appreciate things. But what went on in our home was that he didn't try his best. He tried his best when there was company. He didn't treat me and cherish me. He treated me and cherished me when we had company. But when it was just the two of us, there was lots of neglect, lots of fighting, lots of avoidance. She says that chair, she says that mushroom chair with that table in front of it, that was mine. She says that's where I sat. He didn't even sit in the same room. He didn't even stay on the same floor as me. He went down into the basement, into his man cave. And she goes, so, like, what I'm trying to point out here is that we didn't have, a happy marriage. We weren't two people trying even to connect to each other anymore. And I want to point it out because he's already in a relationship with another woman, and he's already doing the same damn things. And that freaking mushroom-colored chair, that recliner, and that wooden table, and those shelves with those chocolate bars, and those candies, and those medicines are still in the house.
Holy fuck.
And I'm like, huh? She goes, they're still in the house. The garage door's still purple. The bathroom's still hot pink, red, and orange. So she says, I'm literally trying to show up today to save this man's life. She says, I'm literally trying to show up to say, Norm, you need help. Norm, you can't keep living like this. You will only pick a woman who will come in and tolerate this. You will only choose a woman that's going to come in and see my picture on the wall and go, oh, isn't that cute? His dead wife, I can't really say anything. He must have really loved her. Oh, and there's her chair.
You can't ask him to just move on and move forward.
Yes, because, oh, he's grieving. They had such a lovely relationship, and he really values and honors his wife's memory. And his wife is like, no, no, This man is not living his life. He didn't with me. He's not with her.
Mm.
So she comes through and, like, she's really given her here. Her soul to show up for Norm and say, Norm, no, like this is not healthy. You need somebody, you need a good therapist to come in and say, here's your homework. you're going to throw all the chocolate bars and all the candy in the garbage. It's years old. You're going to take the medicines and the naturopathic shit and you're going to get rid of all of it, et cetera, et cetera. And give him timelines to do these things. So I said all of this to Norm and he goes, okay, are you done? But not rudely or anything, mm-hmm. Cal. He just goes, I'm anxious to talk to you about the dream. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, as far as I can remember, that's the dream. If I have any other recall, Norm, I'll jot it down as you're talking so that I can actually say it to you. And he went, are you ready? And I went, yeah. And he goes, okay, I'm going to pick up my phone now. You're on my phone. And he says, so I'm going to switch this camera. And he says, I'm going to take you for a walk. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay. So the camera's moving. And first of all, he shows me the walls in the house. And he shows me the brown, the beige, and the gold. And I went, oh, okay. Like this. He goes, right. And then I see us walking. He's walking towards the door. He goes out. And I'm like, oh, my dear God. And I said, oh, Norm, please tell me it's not a purple garage door. And he's laughing. And he goes, oh, yeah. And he shows me the purple garage door. And he goes, and look, he lets the garage door open. He shows me all these paint cans in the still in the garage, all these paint cans. He shows me like a pail. And he shows me where he took all kinds of colors of paint. And
he oh my threw God. Them,
all of them into one pail, mm-hmm. and it's still sitting there like it's a mess.
Literally, yeah.
Literally, hardened mess. And he says, yeah, so there's that, and there's the mess. And I said, by the way, who mixed all the paint cans? Norm? Oh, she did. I thought it was Norm, but it was her. And he goes, so I painted the garage. He goes, okay, let's go. Let's go back into the house.
Yeah, we need to see this bathroom.
So then he goes into the house. He goes, stops, shows me the mushroom recliner, shows me the table in front of the recliner, mm-hmm. brings me over into the bathroom. And turns and goes, okay, are you ready for it? Here's the bathroom. Turns and shows me the bathroom. Pink, hot pink, red, orange. Wooden cupboards, just exactly like my dream. I got to tell you, what an incredible feeling to have a dream, to see it in so much detail, mm-hmm. and then to actually have a client, and I don't even have a clue what country this man was in, literally walk me around his home inside and out and show me my dream. And then he goes, okay. He goes, now I want to show you the wall. So he brings me back. He goes, this is where I was sitting when you were doing the session. So he says, I'm going to show you where I was seated. So he sits back down, but now he's showing the camera where he's looking. So I would be in front of him, and behind me is this wall that I'm describing to him, with the medicine, mm-hmm. the homeopathy, the all the bars, all of the different assortments of candies, all of this different type of stuff. And he goes, there it is. Just like, I think we just sat kind of like for a moment and both were like, wow. Like, how did the spirit world ever manifest all of that? Like, how did they show up at my house? Or if you want to say my house, in my bedroom. In my dream, wherever that location is in the universe, the dream, and have his house appear in it. That is just super cool. Mm-hmm. Or super freaky, or super weird, or super magical.
Or just wonderful.
Wonderful. Yeah, like really. Yeah. Like, you know, I think anybody listening to this podcast today might sit there and go, holy, that's creepy. Or whatever their words are, really, because it's a whole bunch of things.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, like how it's always been interesting how people gravitate towards language in my eyes, you know, and I think when someone describes it or gravitates toward the word creepy, I think it indicates the level of desire or comfort to experience what the experience is offering you. And what this experience is connection. And to a higher power, for sure. To your own self, to other souls, however you want to look at this. It is basically saying you can't deny the interconnectedness of our existence as human beings or souls or both. And I think that's really what people are labeling creepy, more so than the fact that you can just see it all.
And doesn't it make sense that Norm chooses the word creepy when she's also saying that they have a marriage where they don't actually connect?
That's my point, because I think it's speaking more to someone's desire or discomfort with the actual experience of connection, right? So if you've been living a life where you have tried to avoid, detach, not be seen, and this isn't a judgment, right? People who do these things are doing it for usually good reasons, right? Of an original wound that occurred. Mm-hmm. So if you're living a life where you don't want to be seen and then you have this experience, yeah, I'm going to label it creepy because I've been avoiding the very thing that it is telling me is true, which is the interconnectedness.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the people who say, this is incredible. It's more of a validation of the thing that you've been seeking or have an inner knowing about and want to be connected to. So when people use language, I think it's a real tell of your independent experience and not of the experience itself.
Mm-hmm. So at the very end of the session, his wife comes in and says, "Norm, I'm coming through today to say we didn't have a connection. I'm coming through today to say that I avoid connections in life. You've avoided connections in life. It's why we were able to stay married for so long."
Oh, imagine, like, pause that right there. We stayed married for so long. So how many of you listening are celebrating 20, 30, 40, 50 years of marriage thinking success? Because that's what you're supposed to do, is the longevity. And the reason that you stayed connected in marriage is because you disconnected from the human being.
Mm-hmm. Calling it success. And so she's showing up and saying, no, 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 no. That might be society's idea of a success or a movie or whatever, but that is not what the spirit determines is success. So she shows up and says, no. And now you are in another relationship with another person, planning and currently doing the very same thing. And so long as she, this new person, doesn't really want a connection either, past the dating phase, right, where you kind of love bomb each other, making it look like you're looking for connection. But then once you're settled into the relationship going, okay, now we can both disconnect. We'll both go our own ways, and then we'll stay together forever. She says, please don't do that. That is not what your soul wants you to experience as a human. Please get help so that you can understand this wound. Please take the time necessary to be able to figure out why you're disconnecting. Please go to a therapist and say the words, I am here to figure out why I stay in relationships where I have no connection to the person. Give them that as homework and say that's exactly what you're looking for so that you don't waste any time in therapy. Go in it knowing your purpose. And so I said, okay, Norm, so, you know, this is what she's trying to help you with. This is her saying that even though you didn't love each other on earth, she's trying to show up in the spirit world to say that there is some love for you, and that she's trying to say to you, hey, please live the rest of your life at least trying to heal what's happened in your past so that you could learn to love yourself and someone else. And he looked at me and he went, that sounds like a lot of work, just like that. And I said, okay. I said, or could you look at it like it's that it's not just work, but that there's joy in it, that there's happiness, that there's connection in it? Could you see that there's not just work, that there's other things in it? And if you did that, could you see that that's worthwhile doing? And could you see that there would be rewards all along the way, not thinking that there's just a reward at the end of all of the work? And he went, well, I think that might be part of my problem right there. He says, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head that I think that love only comes at the end of all of that work. And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So if a therapist was actually able to help you pull out and parse out some of those unhealthy beliefs and just have a discussion around a healthy belief, you could walk away after just a 1 hour chat with somebody and go, yeah, now I'm in it. Now, yeah, this sounds good. And see that there are immediate rewards here that are really worthwhile. And he goes, yeah, I think I could do that. So we had like a little door opening by the end of the session. Now, I haven't seen him since that session. And that was probably maybe 6 months ago. And I don't know like if he ended up going to therapy or not. But I still thought that there was good lessons in here for people to listen to about the way that we can hold on to and grieve something and make more of it than it actually was, which is something was quite clear that Norm was doing. Here he had a marriage that he wasn't even happy that he had been in. You might some people might have thought, wow, if I was that unhappy, as soon as she was dead, I would have cleaned out all her stuff and painted that garage door in that bathroom. And instead, he's still hanging on to all of that stuff and trying to start a new relationship with someone else. But you can see, yeah, I'm looking for someone else, but I'm actually trying to continue the same patterns. And I think it was neat that he's actually letting that like sit right out there visibly, as opposed to some people that might paint the new place, get rid of the furniture, and still not do the work and still move into the same type of relationship.
Yeah.
And think they did the work.
I think it makes sense though. He's literally saying non-verbally to whoever walks into his life, here it is in plain sight. I'm not doing the work. I'm not working, period. Are you going to challenge me or are you not? So when that woman or women walk into that house and do not, it's unspoken. It's like, ah, okay, cool. I can keep you around because you're not going to challenge
yes.
the obvious signs that I'm doing nothing.
Yeah.
Versus the person who walks in and goes, didn't she pass 3 years ago? So where are you at with this? Like how long are we keeping the mushroom chair? Right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, ah, got to get rid of you because you're going to call me out on my stuff.
Yes.
Oh, I love like that. That's a test right there in plain sight.
Perfectly done, Kelly. Well analyzed and put out there for everybody to figure out or to hear.
Thanks.
And that was that.
Yeah, for his life and this show. Oh. Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.